welcome to the Nashville Daily Podcast. I'm Stuart Deming.
And I'm Aaron Pennington. It's Music Monday today, and we are bringing you one of our favorite music interviews from 2020.
Specifically, we're bringing you a favorite from our Nashville Story Collection, our interview with Hubert Payne.
We'll talk about all of this and more on Nashville Daily. If you recognize that, then you'll know who played that. For those of you who might not, that is Little Big Town with Boondocks. And if you're grooving to that beat is brought to you by Hubert Payne, who is the drummer for Little Big Town and was on one of our Nashville Story episodes for 2020. And we have to say it was probably in the top list. I really feel like these Nashville Story episodes are our children, and it's really hard to choose our favorites. I don't know if you feel the same way, but it's very hard to do that.
It's very difficult to do that, and part of the reason for that is the stories are so fascinating. We've learned so much about the city of Nashville. We've learned so much about individuals, and they're just great. But this was one interview afterwards, and I remember talking to Aaron about after this interview, and I said, Aaron, I think this is my favorite interview we've ever done.
I mean, it definitely hits the category as one of our top favorite interviews with Hubert Payne. And we have our Nashville Story episodes to tell people's story about their relationship with Nashville and what their stories are of if they're not from Nashville, moving to Nashville, if they grew up in Nashville, what Nashville was like, and then how they have had their careers and their lives throughout being here and what it's been like. So that's the why behind our Nashville Story episodes. But now, you know, that we've brought Music Monday segments in for a little over a month now, and we really want to share this with you guys in this proper music category, because this interview is so good. I want to make sure anybody who hasn't been able to hear it can hear it in its Music Monday context. But one of the reasons Hubert Payne's interview was so good is his Nashville story is incredible. It's really funny as well. There are a few moments in there that are just, you have to hear it to believe it kind of scenarios. But also I think he has very similar experiences to a lot of artists in Nashville as far as really trying to find a path. He goes through a pretty interesting journey of finding his path and all the way to being a drummer for Little Big Town. I mean, those are some of the things that really stood out to me.
I think one of the things that stood out to me is he talked about how he had this big identity crisis. And I think that that relates to everybody, not just artists. We always have people in life will always have an identity crisis some point in their life. And I think this relates to everybody. And that's the thing that stuck out to me in this interview.
Yeah. So we want to share this with you guys. You're not going to be able to hear all of this today, but we want to share with you, you know, some of the best portions of this. And then obviously we're going to be playing a little bit more music after this. So we hope you enjoy this portion of our interview from the Nashville Story with Hubert Payne.
I was about 26 when I made a decision. I said, okay, I've been trying to make a living playing music in Nashville, but I want more. I knew that my skill level wasn't special enough for me to make the kind of living that I wanted to make. I could just look around and I didn't feel like I had what it took to be special great yet. And that's what it takes to be living off of a phone call. You know, so I moved out to LA for like about a year, and I stayed with my uncle and I slept on his couch. And I went to this music school called LA Music Academy. So I went there, I learned how to read, and I thought about staying there. But the way that I like to play music, I just felt like being in Nashville was a better business move for me. And my family was here. And that's where I wanted to raise a family. Once I, you know, got my family, I wanted to raise them here. So I came back to town. I was 27 years old. And you guys ever heard of a club called 12th and Porter?
Yeah. I remember that club. Yeah.
Yeah. It was my favorite venue in the past. But this particular night, man, I'm back in town. I'm back from L.A. I've been gone for about a year. And I was excited because I felt like, you know, I had successfully moved my identity from athlete to football player. I mean, from athlete to musician. So I felt like, man, now I know how to read music. I know how to listen better. I got this special skill set because all I did when I was in L.A. was practice, like, all day, every day.
Yeah.
And catch the last train back home. So I went and saw some friends playing a show at 12th and Porter. The show's over, and we're just kind of hanging out. You know, the musician talk. Where are we going to eat? It was someone's birthday. We were trying to figure that part of it out. And a guy comes in a back door in that club. I don't know if you guys remember. It was like a back door where people weren't supposed to come in. It's where the band would load in and out.
Yeah, it's kind of that, it's that, like, side entrance.
Like with that metal.
Yeah. So I saw a guy come in. This guy's wearing, like, some Jordan. I remember he had on some Jordan shoes, a Jordan jersey. And it had to be, like, 10 o'clock at night. He had on shades. And he's holding, like, a tall can of beer. So he goes past me and he gets on the stage. And I'm thinking, okay, this is weird. Now, at this time, 12th and Porter didn't have any security. So I'm looking around like, okay, nobody's going to stop this guy. Okay, whatever. So me and my friends continue to talk. He gets on a mic and he starts trying to say something in the mic. And we're all looking like, what is he doing? So he gets belligerent. He starts screaming. And he's like, y'all don't want to pay attention to me. I'm going to effing kill all y'all right now.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm thinking, okay. Security, somebody, something. So this guy, I promise you guys, it looked like he went in his pants and he pulled out the longest, it looked like a machete. I won't even say it was a knife because my first thought was, how did he pull that out of his pants? It was like he went to a pawn shop and was just like, give me the biggest one you got. So he pulls this knife out and he gets off the stage and he slices the beer can and he pours like a barrier on the ground at Southern Porter. And he corners about me and 10 of my friends. Now, it's quiet in the club. There's no music playing because, you know, it was shutdown time.
Yeah.
The bar, everyone just froze. And this guy starts yelling, and he's getting in different people's face. And I'm thinking in my head, okay, now, I'm an ex-athlete, but I'm an athlete. And this feels like confrontation, you know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I knew there were women around me, and I was like, man, I'm going to have to be the one to stop this because this guy is going crazy. I didn't think he had a gun, so I was like, you know, a knife. He was smaller than me. I'm 5'8", but at the time I was in pretty good shape. Man, it was almost like our energies attracted to each other because when he came to me, he put the knife right on my head, like right on my temple, like on the side of my head. And in that moment, now, I'm 37 years old, and this might date me. It will. But in that moment, I thought about the Power Rangers. This is a true story, guys.
Hey, I grew up on the Power Rangers. It's okay.
All right, my man. So I thought about the Red Ranger. One time, me and my brother were watching. I remember when it first started. It would come on before we went to school. But the Red Ranger was cornered by, like, some goblins or something they were fighting. And he pretended to be really calm. And when the goblin put the weapon up to his helmet, he made a sudden action. And he grabbed the goblin's arm, and the knife flew out of the goblin's hand. And then all the rangers showed up, and they beat that guy up. So in my head, my first thought was, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be really calm, and I'm going to make a sudden action, grab his arm. He'll drop the knife, and then we can fight. You know?
It sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, sounds like a great plan. So, now walking it out is something different. So when I grabbed his arm, I put his arm in the air because I grabbed it really hard, and I could see the beer bottle or the beer can slide off the top of the knife. But he didn't drop the knife, and it was just like slow motion from there. And I was just trying to swing. So we're like basically wrestling. I'm trying to swing and hit him in the head and the face with like all the power I got. And this dude is just like, he's aiming for my stomach, just trying to get as many jabs as he can. So we're fighting, we're wrestling, and I don't feel any pain, but I notice I see a ton of blood. So I stepped away from him, and he's staring at me. We both kind of just looking at each other like with this like adrenaline rush. And I just kind of like escaped from him, and he started yelling at other people. And I opened up the palm of my hand, and I noticed like, oh, geez, it's just he basically sliced the like right down the palm of my left hand.
Oh, wow!
And so I'm holding my hand, and I stumble outside the club, and luckily, man, there was a police officer on a traffic stop on Demumbrium, which is about two blocks away.
Yeah.
So I'm yelling to the police officer, come get this guy. He just stabbed me. And they pull their guns out. They don't know what's going on. So the guy, he comes out the club, and he chases me all the way to the police car. Right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. This dude was, he was really, he was high and drunk on some stuff, which I found out later. But we'll get to that. So, man, the police grabbed me, and then I felt like someone opened up my pants and poured a bucket of water down my pants, and I realized it was blood, and I just collapsed right there in the middle of the street.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, man. So I get all my friends come out running out the club, you know, and I get to the hospital, and they're asking me, Mr. Payne, where have you been stabbed? And I'm like, I don't know. My adrenaline is pumping so crazy. I just see blood everywhere. I know my hand, but so eventually, once I got all cleaned up, got some tests done, the doctor's like, man, what a miracle that you only have two really substantial wounds. So he stabbed me in my femur, like in the side of my leg.
Jeez.
But it went so deep that it nicked my femur bone. It like penetrated it.
Oh,
but
but
the doctor's like, man, you know what? We can fix that. Ooh. All we need to do is just, we can sew that up and you'll recover. But your hand, the palm wound was so deep that it cut the tendon that connects my pinky finger to the rest of my hand.
Jeez.
Through my palm, right? But he's like, man, we can fix that. And the doctor told me before he did the surgery, he said, listen, you won't ever gain mobility of your pinky finger again. But what I can do is I can go in and reattach that tendon. And it will at least be drawn up. And I was like, Doc, that's good enough. I can hold a drumstick that way. And he was like, well, man, you're going to be out for about 8 months to a year before you can even grab clay with your hand again.
Wow.
So I was just like, you know what? I'm living and I'm happy for that. And I'm grateful. So let's get the surgery done. So I got the surgery done. And thankfully, I was able to go to my parents' house in Gallatin and kind of stay there for my recovery. I lost my apartment right away because, you know, I was only living off of playing drums.
Yeah.
So I lost my apartment. Then I sold my drum kit to pay for my car note. And then I had to sell the car to pay for my medical bills.
Yeah.
Right. But man, this time of my life was just like, I call it my bullpen moment, because if you think about like a relief pitcher,
yep,
a relief pitcher knows the score of the game, right? And it's up to them when they're warming up, they're getting their mind right. Like, you know what? I know we're playing baseball. I know that we're down by 2 points. I know what happened before. I know what batter's got the hot hand. But when I get in here to finish this thing off, like it's up to me to use everything that I can observe and get ready to go ahead and get this W to close it out. And I feel like that 8 months that I spent on my parents' couch was my bullpen moment, because I was able to reassess, like, okay, what's my identity, man? Because if my identity is still an athlete, like, I don't play sports anymore, so that's not going to work. Like, what is my identity? And I realized that, like, it was some toxic behavior for me to even have my identity as an athlete, right? So I said, I don't want to have my identity be a musician. So I got more in touch with my faith. And realized, like, okay, God has a plan for my life, clearly. if I say I'm a believer, what, like, why do I believe what I believe?
Right.
You know? So I was able to kind of do, I spent months on a couch thinking about every aspect of my life and what I wanted moving forward. And I established, man, I want to have a family. I want to get married. I want to play drums for a living. I want to use my college football experience to fuel the way that I'm going to work to get what I want.
Hmm.
And some other things happened. I realized, like, you know what? I'm in Music City.
Yep.
Whatever happened with football, like, God's providence at this point has me in Music City. And you know what? People play country music here. So if you think about it, if you go downtown on Broadway, you'll see 20 drum sets in windows.
Yeah.
Where else in the world do you see that? And so for me, the whole time I was planning, you know what? When I can play again, I'm going to go where there are drum sets, and I'm going to start there. So I started going down there, listening to those guys. And I'm like, okay, so this is country music. Then I started making friends because I felt like I had a second chance at life. Hmm. And I didn't care who was black, who was white. I didn't care if it was country music, if it was jazz. I wanted to play drums and make a living and build my life from there. And so I was just going to take everything that the city had to offer me. And so once I started making friends and relationships, I just asked a bunch of questions, man. Like, who's your favorite drummer? Why? And then they would tell me someone, and I would just be a nerd about it. And I figure out when that guy was playing. Go watch him. And then I would self-assess. How does my game compare to where he is?
Yeah.
What's the difference between me and him?
You'd say, how can
I get there?
It's game film right there.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing. And I noticed a lot of musicians, a lot of people in general, man, they feel like I've wanted to do this my whole life, whatever it is they do. And they spent like their teenage years building their craft. And then when they become an adult, it's all about, let me build my Instagram and show how many people I can, what I can do. Whereas I always want to be an NFL football player. And when Ray Lewis got to the NFL, he didn't say, I'm here. He said, I'm here now, and I'm going to continue to lift. I'm going to continue to develop my game, right?
Yeah.
So I decided to take that mindset. So although I was like late to the game with declaring myself as a professional musician, my work ethic and my humility, because it was easy for me to see someone who was better than me and just say, hey, bro, can I literally just, you know, come to your next gig and watch you play?
Yeah.
And learn. There was no ego there because my identity wasn't wrapped up in it, right? Because I had learned that mistake from playing football, right? So I was able to just be like this empty cup and just got filled up with Nashville, man. And like so many people poured into me because I was a willing learner. And then after a while, I started building like a special skill set because obviously I can learn country music and I know the greats. I know the history. I know every technical thing that, I don't want to say everything because I'm still learning, but I respect country music drumming as much as I know to respect it. But my filter is still going to be the way that I've heard music growing up. And what I realized is, you know, what comes out of that is like kind of if you think about your style as a soup, it's like different ingredients, right? So of course, I listened to the hip-hop, rap, R&B growing up. But with that influence, along with my respect for country music, now I have a marketable skill that's special, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and a lot of people these days, man, no one listens to one genre of music anyway.
No.
Most people can go to a few different things, right? So, I just kind of built off that. Relationship wise, I didn't see myself as, you know, I'm a black dude and everybody else is white. On the face of it, that's what it looked like. To be honest, I mean, I've only ever really toured the world playing country music for the most part, and I'm the only black guy a lot of people come in contact with. But I embrace it because I understand common ground, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a Christian first. I talked about this earlier today. I I spoke to a college football team and we were talking about diversity. And I was like, man, my wife is white, right? And I had a daughter before our marriage, but me and her have 5 biracial children. Now, I've been touring our whole marriage. We've been married for like 9 years. We have 5 kids in 9 years. My wife is a machine, bro. She supports me. She's amazing. And I got to a point to where I had to establish, yes, I'm an African-American male, but I'm a Christian first.
Yeah.
And if I believe that God has a wife, it says in the word that he has a wife from your youth, right? So if I believe that, who am I to say that she wasn't going to be white or black or Mexican? And I really do believe that because of my understanding of that, even on a base level, I found my wife. And I met her on Broadway. I was playing at a country bar.
That's awesome.
She walked past the window at Legends on a corner. So, I mean, this town has been great, man, because I won't say that I haven't run into some situations that, you know, we're probably not, you know, cool, you know, regarding race.
Sure.
But I'm going to focus on all of the opportunities and the common ground that I have with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it doesn't matter if they're black or white.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've broken bread and cried tears and had mentors that were white and black. Right. And my kids, man, like my kids are beautiful. Like all of them. It's amazing. Like me and my wife look at our children. We're like, geez, you know, this is what happens. But so, yeah, Nashville's just been great, man, relationship wise, because I do understand there are cultural differences. But I'm looking for common ground. And it all comes down to like, man, as a believer, I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve with my gifts. I definitely believe that playing the drums is like one of the gifts that God gave me. And I'm going to use that gift to serve. So my approach is, if there are songwriters here, I want to use what I have to help you bring your song to life. And with that servant hat, that attitude, I've just seen like my career snowball way past anything that I deserve, man. And it's been awesome. And I tell people all the time, I am a product of these streets, these Nashville streets. Like I am that guy, and I'm super grateful. I'm literally walking in everything that I wanted to do, right? Because I wanted to get with like the highest level artists in country music, one of the higher level artists, because like I said, I have multiple children. I want to spend time at home.
Yeah.
And they don't have to work as much as far as like playing. They're not playing like 200 dates. We play maybe 100.
Nice.
And I love the gig, and I get to record with Little Big Town, which is a major blessing, and it's really rare. So, I mean, I'm in position now, man. We got a song on the charts. It's called Wine, Beer, Whiskey. Go check it out.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But, man, if that song continues to climb, you know, let's just say it goes number one, I'll be the first black or African-American drummer to play on a number one country song.
Really?
Right? Yeah, and it's insane. I mean, I've been Grammy nominated from being associated with Little Big Town.
Yeah.
And anyone who knows me or understands the way that I play very simple. So it's not that I'm doing some magic behind the drums. I think it's just a combination of my heart and my obedience to God and understanding that I'm forgiven. And I walk around with like joy and gratefulness. And if you hire me, I'm going to give my best effort. Of course, you can find a better drummer, but I'm going to give my best effort and I'm going to add value to the situation. And I'm just grateful that like I'm on course to be a trailblazer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And change the narrative.
All right. We hope you enjoyed that portion of our interview on the Nashville Story with Hubert Payne. I mean, it's just incredible. We encourage you guys to go listen to the full interview.
Yeah, so that full interview is episode 329, almost 100 episodes ago, which is insane to think about.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That's so crazy.
100 episodes ago, and that was in the 300s. All right, definitely go listen to that. That will be in the show notes. Now, we want to play for you just a little bit because a lot of his stuff, you know, that he does is in session. It makes it to the studio. It's with a bunch of fantastic artists and, you know, when he's out playing live. But he's got a little fun, kind of funky stuff on his YouTube that's really a lot of the stuff that he's, you know, working on off the scenes. And so we want to bring you a little bit of that. This is from his YouTube channel. You can go watch this as well. This is Hubert Payne and the Network Band. So we want to play just a little bit of this for you to see and hear, I guess, is more appropriate for a podcast of, you know, what is some of the music that Hubert has also behind the scenes. So this is Hubert Payne and the Network Band. We hope you enjoy. This is just a little bit of this, and then we'll send you to the YouTube channel. You can find that link in the show notes. It's Hubert Payne and the Network Band. I encourage you guys, we'll put the YouTube link in the show notes for that. There is a Sirius XM channel called Watercolors. It's exactly like this. This is the only, I'll tell you, this is a fact, when I had Sirius XM, you know, when you just get the trials of weird stuff like that, this is the only channel I listen to is Watercolors, because it's like this, just for hours and hours. I could listen to this all day long.
That's cool. Yeah, I haven't listened to SiriusXM in a while.
That was probably back when it was, you know, Sirius Satellite Radio and then XM, the two competing against each other before they merged.
And now I think SiriusXM. For like $4.99, this is not sponsored by them. I wish it was. But for $4.99, you can have their app and you can have access to all of their channels monthly now, which is kind of cool.
How do you know that for not listening to it?
Because the Christmas music I listen to like about once a week, that's the playlist we have.
That's funny. All right. Well, we hope you guys have enjoyed this Music Monday segment. We are excited for the 2021 catalog of Music Mondays.
Oh, they're going to be a lot of fun. I think tomorrow we're going to be talking about some New Year's food. And, where to eat good on New Year's.
And if you're, you know, where to maybe go if you're just going to be watching the New Year's Eve at home.
Thanks for listening to Nashville Daily. You can check us out over on Instagram at xplr.nash, as well as our YouTube channel, xplr.nash. For Nashville merch, we have you covered as well. Find that at xplr.life.
You can also text us at 615-392-1358. And for more exclusive content, head over to NashvilleDailyPodcast.com. Nashville Daily is produced right here in the great city of Nashville. So if you like what we're doing, please give this podcast a 5-star rating and share it with your friends.